This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
He's in the paint, down by two. Can he do it? The ball is up, and nothing but net! The crowd goes wild!
Hey, Greg, waiting on your PC again.
Yep. Want a front row seat to the big game?
No, I'm good.
A workplace that doesn't work is anything but beautiful. Give your employees the power to do their best work and reduce downtime by 50% with new, powerfully performing Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at dell.com/business.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Obama pokes a chief critic. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Friday, January 8th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Obama says he's willing to meet with the NRA to discuss gun policy, but during a televised town hall meeting last night, he said the group has rejected his White House invitations.
On the presidential campaign trail, trying to stop a slide in the polls, Republican candidate Ben Carson is going all in for Iowa.
Does Cuba now have some U.S. missile technology? A Hellfire sent to Europe for training was somehow wrongly sent from Europe to Havana.
And the government releases the latest employment figures today. We'll have a look at the broader job market and the lasting concerns.
Currently, it's the labor force participation rate is the lowest it's been since 1977. So it's very much a matter of concern. We've gotten the unemployment rate down by way of a declining labor force participation. But what that means is that job seekers left the labor market because they couldn't find a job.
Pat O'Keefe from the firm Cohn-Resnick gives us a status update on the hiring scene. He's here in about 10 minutes. President Obama says the National Rifle Association doesn't seem interested in having a discussion about gun issues. During a town hall event on CNN last night, he said he's willing to meet with the powerful gun rights group to discuss policy, but the NRA has declined multiple invitations to come to the White House. Mr. Obama said the NRA was focused on over-the-top rhetoric instead of a productive discussion.
The conversation has to be based on facts and truth and what we're actually proposing. Not some, imaginary fiction in which Obama's trying to take away your guns.
Mr. Obama fielded more than an hour's worth of questions about his executive actions aimed at expanding background checks for gun buyers and tightening rules for people who purchase weapons. Gun rights advocates challenged the president's policies. Some urged him to do more to curb firearms violence. The NRA, by the way, declined to participate in the town hall, telling CNN it was, quote, a public relations spectacle orchestrated by the White House. Well, we're still stumbling through the first trading week of the new year. In another rough day for stocks, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 400 points yesterday as steep falls in Chinese equities spilled over to global markets. The sell-off came after China made its largest downward adjustment to the yuan since August. The country's stock market fell more than 7% thanks to concerns about investment money leaving China. Trading there was halted after only 30 minutes when circuit breakers kicked in to limit the volatility. That's the second time it's happened this week. Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, says this might not be a short-term slide.
I think it'll be a wait longer run. I think many large multinational corporations have invested heavily in China and are betting on strong growth for coming out of China for many years to come.
Yesterday was the shortest trading day in China's history. Meanwhile, the Dow and the S&P 500 are off to their worst starts ever. The NASDAQ is off to its worst start since the year 2000. Two men from the Middle East who came to the U.S. as refugees have been arrested on federal terrorism charges. Officials in California and Texas accuse them of supporting Islamic militant groups. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Neither man was charged with actually plotting an attack, but one was charged with supporting the Islamic State terrorist group overseas, and both were charged with providing false information. The arrests were made in Sacramento and Houston. Both men are Palestinians who were born in Iraq. The man arrested in Houston entered the U.S. as an Iraqi refugee in November 2009. The other came here as a Syrian refugee in 2012. There have been more than 75 publicized arrests of U.S. residents who have allegedly become radicalized by Muslim militants since 2014. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. We get the latest snapshot of the unemployment rate today from the Labor Department. For a look at the current job market, here's Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at the firm Cohn Resnick in New Jersey. Pat, paint the picture.
We're looking for another month of fairly solid growth in the private sector, a little bit of a gain in the public sector employment. Overall, the jobs expansion, which is now one of the longest ones in record, is set to continue. Overall, I think the data that we will see on Friday will be generally positive. The question mark, as has been the case throughout the recovery, is whether we can entice so many of those people who have left the labor force back in. But that doesn't seem to be on the cards.
All right, so that's that labor force participation rate, right? Explain that a little more.
We measure in the job series, we measure people who are 16 years of age and older, who are not institutionalized and not in the military, and we use that as the core potential labor force. We define the labor force then as those people who either have a job or are actively looking for a job. So the labor force participation rate is really the measure of the extent to which our human resource is being used. And currently, it's the labor force participation rate is the lowest it's been since 1977. So it's very much a matter of concern. We've gotten the unemployment rate down by way of a declining labor force participation, but what that means is that job seekers left the labor market because they couldn't find a job, not because they did find one.
We're speaking with Pat O'Keefe. He's the Director of Economic Research at the firm Cohn Resnick in New Jersey. We're talking about the December jobs report. So there's some dispute, too, right, about what makes up the people who are choosing not to participate in the labor force, right? It could be the sizable number of baby boomers, right? I think some argue that more people than ever are on the government dole. Like, how do you see this makeup of folks not participating in the labor force?
You characterize it well. It's an admixture of reasons. The baby boomers, the oldest of which are well past 65, including yours truly, who have begun to undertake retirement, but they're doing it at a slower pace than prior cohorts and even slower than what we expected they would do. We've also seen a leveling off in female labor force participation, which was a real driver of growth in the 1990s and the early part of this century. What we do see, though, is when we look at prime working years, those say from 24 through 55, there has been about a 5% drop in participation, and that's when people should be coming into the labor force and staying there rather than seeing a declining rate.
Is there still a fair complaint to be made about the types of jobs that are being created?
Overall, the growth has been concentrated in the services sector. In fact, we're missing a couple million goods-producing jobs in the construction and manufacturing industry. So we're looking at growth in the services sector, and there we have growth in some very well-paid industries, healthcare, business services. We see growth there. But we've also seen very significant growth in the areas of leisure and hospitality.
Thanks, Pat. It's Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at the firm Cohn Resnick in northern New Jersey. 18 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here. She has more of America's First News.
According to the White House, is sending top national security officials to Silicon Valley to get the tech industry's help in disrupting the Islamic State group and other terrorists. At a high-level session today, industry leaders and government officials will discuss ways to use technology to stop terrorists from radicalizing people online and getting them to carry out violence. Secretary of State John Kerry is urging China to end business as usual with North Korea after the isolated nation conducted its fourth nuclear test. Kerry says China's approach to North Korea has failed, while the U.S. has major concerns about North Korea's actions.
That test simply underscores America's firm and continued commitment to regional security and global nonproliferation. And we remain committed to that.
The U.N. Security Council has pledged new sanctions against North Korea after its purported hydrogen bomb test on Wednesday. Get ready to bundle up. AccuWeather says a mid-January shift in the polar vortex will send waves of cold air southward, upping the possibility of snow and much colder temperatures across central and eastern states. Next week, highs are expected to be within a few degrees of zero in the northern Great Plains and upper Midwest, in the teens in Chicago, and below freezing in the south all the way through Florida. If you've ever felt guilty about snooping on your kids' digital life, don't worry, you're not alone. According to a new study by Pew Research, more than 60% of parents say they've checked which websites their teens have visited, and nearly half admitted to looking through their children's text messages and call records. A majority of parents also say they have digitally grounded their teen by taking away cell phone or internet privileges as punishment. And if you want to be healthier, be more forgiving. A University of Washington study finds that people who hold grudges are literally held down by the weight of their anger. They discovered that a burden is a literal weight and that by forgiving, we feel lighter. Researchers recommend that you let go of perceived slights, a driver who cut you off in traffic, or a friend who may have said something rude.
I'm getting better at that as I get older.
Are you?
I'm a little mellower. Yeah. You know what I've seen lately, too? It seems to be a lot of Facebook posts about this.
Really?
Letting go of the past.
Mm.
Maybe it's the divorced friends I have on Facebook who seem to be saying that a lot. Let go of the past. Look
good
to
advice.
The future.
It's good advice.
Stop being weighed down by that stuff.
Yeah, you got to let it go.
I'm with you. Thanks, Jen. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
One great resolution you can make for the new year: maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. I know an easy way to do that. It's stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted going to the post office. One, driving there. Two, finding parking. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use what you already have, your own computer and printer, to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman picks it up. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk, and at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is great and easy to use, and it's so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in deal. That's stamps.com and enter code deal.
Glad you're here on a Friday. Here's an interesting outgrowth of the controversial health insurance law known as Obamacare. Christian families are increasingly turning to health-sharing ministries as an alternative to traditional health insurance. But as Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour says, the programs can bring risks. She's got to look at what they are and how they work. Stephanie, what's this about?
Well, this is really an interesting twist on the health law. There are these groups that have been around, really they've been around for decades, that allow people generally who all share the same religion, and what they do is they share each other's medical bills. I go to the doctor, I put up my medical bill, and other people share the cost, and I don't have to pay, and when someone else has a medical bill, I pay them. And they're really these interesting groups. There's about 50 of them across the United States. And they had lobbied Congress to get an exemption from the health law so that their members don't have to pay a penalty for not having insurance, and they got it. And ever since then, ever since the law in 2010, their membership has just exploded. Some say they're averaging, thousands of new members each month. It's sort of this interesting wrinkle that no one had expected would take place.
Wow. All right. I'm not sure I'm totally clear on this. So, who belongs? These are people who do not have health insurance, and strangers might be paying their bills?
Right. right? These are people who do not have health insurance. Most of the ministries are sort of evangelical in nature, but there are at least two that you don't have to be any specific religion. You could be Jewish and join, as long as, or, you know, Protestant or Lutheran. You could be any religion as long as you ascribe to certain beliefs or standard principles. But the religious ones do have a lot of caveats in place. For example, if you are a member, you have to sometimes have a pastor sign off that you, you know, go to church, you agree not to have sex outside of marriage. There's a number of specific things that you do and attest to in order to join.
Goodness. What if it's some emergency, like like you have a baby or you know, you're in a car wreck and need surgery? I mean, how does that work?
You know, I talked to a number of people for this story and for previous stories who've had just that kind of situation. There was an individual who had a baby born very prematurely and had extensive medical bills. And he said all of them were shared by other members of the ministry after the baby was born. And in fact, not only were the costs shared, but he got cards and notes from everyone who sent him money that he said really were heartwarming and helped the whole family.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour. She's got an interesting piece entitled "More People Turn to Faith-Based Groups for Health Coverage." Are there incidents of fraud here?
Good question. That is where some of the concern is building here. As you see this explosion in membership, keep in mind that these ministries, even though they share individuals' costs, they're not regulated at all by state insurance commissioners, and they don't have to take everyone with a pre-existing condition. And there have been lawsuits and cases where individuals have said, look, I had this heart condition, I had this medical problem, and when it came time for my bill to be shared, the ministry never put it up to be shared. In another case, there was a ministry, this was a number of years ago, where the individual who ran the ministry faced a lawsuit because it was found that they had taken the money that people were sending in to cover other people's medical bills and spent it on real estate and cars and an exotic dancer. So there have been issues that have arisen in the past.
So this might work how, for example, I walk into a hospital, I have a procedure, and I say, don't worry, my church will pick up the tab, or, I mean, do you show a card or what?
There's generally not a card. You're just considered a self-pay patient, the same way anyone without insurance would be. And some of the ministries do have specific doctors that you see that it's not called in-network, but they're aware of the healthcare ministries and how they operate. And generally, people simply pay their bills when they come due as the healthcare costs are shared by other members of the ministry.
So does it make sense then, say, for someone to just drop their current, Affordable Care Act insurance or their employer insurance and go this route?
Depends on who you talk to. You know, I think the ministries would say that they're less expensive than traditional insurance. They're not traditional insurance. Their members have been very satisfied. You talk to state insurance commissioners and they're saying, whoa, hold on. There is no guarantee that you're going to get your medical costs covered. And in fact, people who join have to pay a certain amount each month, almost like an insurance company. So people could conceivably pay a certain amount each month and have a situation that occurs and they're stuck with lots of medical bills because the bill isn't shared, yet they can't go to the state insurance commissioner for any kind of help or appeal the way you could if that happened with your insurance company.
Hey, Stephanie. Wall Street Journal reporter Stephanie Armour, who's based in Washington. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday, January 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Obama meets with Silicon Valley execs today about online terrorist propaganda. A Syrian rights group says an ISIS fighter killed his mother. before a public audience because she wanted him to leave the terrorist group. 70 small earthquakes have rattled Oklahoma in the past week. AT&T today stops offering two-year contracts for smartphones. How about this? UFC putting Conor McGregor and Holly Holm on the same card for March 5th in Vegas. New album from David Bowie today. And what the Green Bay Packers are obsessed with. That story in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson, trying to stop a steep slide in his poll numbers, is predicting that the political world will be shocked with his performance in the Iowa caucuses on February 1st, just 24 days from now. The retired neurosurgeon was in the Hawkeye State for multiple events yesterday. Meanwhile, Kyle Cheney, political reporter at Politico, says after leading in Iowa at one point, then falling to the middle of the pack, Dr. Carson is trying to jumpstart his campaign with a last-ditch approach. Kyle, what's up in the Carson camp?
Well, he's been on a steep decline since the middle of November, when he was actually at the top of the polls. He was exposed for some weakness on foreign policy, seemed unprepared as a lot of international events took precedence over everything else. And so he's really just faded really fast, and he finds himself now in the middle of the pack and declining rapidly without a lot of reason for hope. So he's trying to save his campaign by going all in on Iowa, where he has his best support, which votes first, obviously, on February 1. So that's where he's planting his flag for a while.
So what happened then? Was it essentially the foreign policy issues? He just couldn't provide a credible answer to some questions?
A lot of things, but that's the main one. I think the campaign was not ready when these conversations suddenly shifted to international affairs, the attacks in Paris and some of the anxiety that caused. Dr. Carson was very well liked and connected well with evangelical voters in Iowa, but couldn't answer some basic questions about how he'd handle how he'd be commander in chief, and people in Iowa suddenly started caring about national security above all else, and it just didn't line up anymore. So I think that's when we saw his standing erode.
No. Oh. All right. So the celebrity TV/real estate guy was able to better answer questions on foreign policy than the neurosurgeon.
Amazingly, yeah. I mean, he's got no better claim to foreign policy expertise than Ben Carson does, but what he does do better is project this image of strength.
Yes. Yes.
And you can argue that's sort of window dressing or shouldn't matter, and that's just what Dr. Carson is arguing now, which is that it's not how the decibels of your voice that matter, but how you'll lead. But so far, it's worked for Donald Trump. He pounds his fist and says, I'm going to keep us safe just because that's what I'm going to do. And it seems to be working, and voters trust him more on that issue than someone like Dr. Carson and even the other candidates.
All right. We're speaking with Kyle Cheney, politics reporter at Politico. He's got a piece entitled Ben Carson's Last Stand. All right. You mentioned he's doubling down. He's all in in Iowa. What does that mean exactly? What's he doing?
He said yesterday that he's going to be there 16 days this month, which is basically pretty much blanket. I'm going to be in Iowa almost every day between now and February 1. That involves doing these town halls he's been doing. His campaign's going to spend it to be on the air there and just keep his presence up there and try to reestablish his dominance there when he was once leading. So it just means you're going to see a lot of him. Everywhere he goes is going to be Iowa pretty much for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. All right. So can it work? I mean, is there any history to show that a candidate can rebound in Iowa after a fall?
I mean, I wouldn't surprise people in the past, when Rick Santorum won 4 years ago, but we haven't really seen the candidate who rises to the top, falls, and then rises again. That's been rare. But this cycle's shown us a lot of really unusual trajectories. So it's not crazy to think it could happen. It's just an unlikely path.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Cheney, political reporter at Politico. Ben Carson, all in for Iowa. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, if you like small business or entrepreneurial stories, you can check out The Small Business Report, done twice weekly and available on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks for being with us. Good Friday to you. Time now for our weekly look at our most popular online searches of the past week. Here's Google Trends expert Nina Tyler is with us live this morning. Nina, where do we begin?
Well, Gordon, we're beginning right here at the Golden Globes. It's the top of people's minds, you know, as it's coming up this Sunday. And we've seen searches around Ricky Gervais, which, you know, he's the host this year, taking over for Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and people searching for the nominees, and, of course, the anticipated red carpet fashions. If you're wondering who the top search best actor in a drama series is, it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
What is that? That's Sunday night, the Golden Globes?
Sunday night, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be so worn out from football, I just don't know if I'll have the energy for the Golden Globes on Sunday night.
Well, at least try to catch the red carpet. That's the best part.
All right, what else made the list?
Also making the list, you know, in harder news, President Obama, he gave a speech about gun control, announcing plans for deeper background checks on gun purchasers and better tech to ensure safety. And so we saw a lot of people taking to Google to find out more about the executive order, wanting to know what is an executive order, what does Obama's executive order on gun control mean exactly. And the top state searching for executive order on gun control, Wyoming was number one, Montana was number two, and rounding at the top three, Kentucky.
I'd be curious about a drill down on that search and whether or not some of the popularity of the search had to do with the tear or two that the president shed. You know, if people were looking under Obama cries at a gun control speech or something like that.
Exactly. And it was an incredibly emotional speech. And so people, you know, took to Google afterward to find out, you know, things they were hearing on social media, Obama shedding a tear during his speech and wanting to kind of see the speech for themselves as well.
Yep. All right. So you're still here. I'm still here. That means neither of us did too well in the Powerball jackpot.
That's right. Many people are trying their luck for this week's Powerball jackpot, worth over $700 million. And so the next drawing is going to be at 10:59 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, so mark your clocks. And, I mean, really, people are just looking forward to this and just kind of, you know, fascinated with it and imagining what they would do if they won the Powerball.
Oh, yeah. We're speaking with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. She's with us live this morning. How about Taylor Swift making news for this acoustic performance? Let me play a clip.
Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams.
One of the more popular videos of the week. Explain that one.
That's right. Taylor Swift, she performed an acoustic version of her hit song Wildest Dreams. And the video, it's very reminiscent of her early days. It features just her and her guitar, really simple. It has over 1.5 million views. It was a really intimate performance, and people have been going crazy for it online, you know, and just kind of saying that her voice is amazing in this video and that this is Taylor Swift at her best.
Yeah, agreed. Thanks, Nina, for a few minutes. As always, Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live this morning. The acoustic performance by Taylor Swift is great. Just shows that, you know, she needs nothing. She needs no help whatsoever. I like, too, she's got about four or five guitars lined up alongside her as part of that intimate performance. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Thanks for being with us. The federal government is once again in our kitchens, picking through our fridges and cabinets, pointing out what's good for us and what's not. New dietary guidelines issued yesterday urge us to cut back on sugar and eat less saturated fat and sodium. Duh. The guidelines recommend that adults limit their sodium intake to 2,300 milligrams a day, about one teaspoon. The guidelines also called for men and teenage boys to lower their consumption of red meat and poultry. But officials included lean meat and poultry as part of a healthy diet and removed long-standing specific limits on daily cholesterol intake. The guidelines also say coffee can be part of a healthy diet, but said it is best to limit yourself to 3 to 5 cups of 8 ounces each. This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint. If you're a small business looking to take the next step, I have a great solution for you. Vistaprint makes it easy to personalize your business cards and marketing materials right on their website. You can customize just about everything. Upload your logo to one of Vistaprint's designs, or you can upload your own design. They also have a special offer for you when you use my code DEAL at checkout. More on that in just a moment. Vistaprint also offers custom design services to help you create the perfect product. No need to worry about trying to create a logo or needing help with layout. Vistaprint can help with all your design needs, and they guarantee you'll be happy. Got a networking event coming up? Want to add credibility to your business? I want you to try Vistaprint. So here's a special offer for our listeners if you use my code DEAL at Vistaprint.com. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. That's up to a 50% savings over regular site pricing. To redeem this offer and get your 500 custom business cards for $9.99, visit Vistaprint.com, create and design your custom business cards, then enter my code DEAL at checkout. That's code DEAL at Vistaprint.com. It's an exciting offer for a great product, so don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today. 8 minutes now before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a Belgian prosecutor says investigators have searched an apartment in Brussels and they believe served as a bomb factory for the Paris attacks. Authorities say the same residence was likely used as a hideout after the November 13th attacks by fugitive suspect Salah Abdeslam. They also found three handmade belts that could have been intended to transport explosives, as well as bomb-making equipment, traces of explosive residue, and fingerprints. President Obama says he would meet with the NRA to discuss gun policy, but the group has declined multiple invitations to come to the White House. At a town hall event last night, the president said the NRA is focused on over-the-top rhetoric instead of productive discussion.
All of us can agree that it makes sense to do everything we can to keep guns out of the hands of people who would try to do others harm or to do themselves harm.
The NRA declined to participate in the town hall, telling CNN it was a public relations spectacle orchestrated by the White House. Today's Wall Street Journal says an inert U.S. Hellfire missile sent to Europe for training purposes was wrongly shipped from there to Cuba in 2014, a loss of sensitive military technology that ranks among the worst known incidents of its kind. Hellfires are air-to-ground missiles often fired from helicopters. Secretary of State John Kerry says Iran could be only days away from complying with the nuclear deal reached last summer. Kerry says Iran's foreign minister said his country intends to complete its obligations with respect to implementation as rapidly as possible. The Labor Department releases the latest unemployment figures this morning, and they're expected to show a positive picture for the economy. Economists expect December's unemployment rate to remain a low 5% for a third straight month, with some 200,000 jobs added to the economy. And there's a new bad four-letter word, diet. Food giant Nestle is repositioning Lean Cuisine as a healthy lifestyle brand rather than a weight loss product in an effort to jumpstart sales. Nestle says people don't want to hear anymore about low fat and low calories. They want to hear about gluten-free and high in protein.
Well, not the first one to do that either. I think Weight Watchers did something along those lines,
this
right? Just
the
changing the whole approach of having to give stuff up and diet, right?
More
of
a
lifestyle, a little more positive. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Here's more stuff for your sidebar conversations about the NFL playoffs this weekend. We told you yesterday about how frugal some of the Washington Redskins are. They'll be facing a Green Bay Packers team Sunday, known for having the most distinct movie taste in the league. The Wall Street Journal said the Packers' infatuation with romantic comedies is legendary. When some players started tweeting about their obsession with the film Pitch Perfect, it led to a cameo in the sequel for a handful of players, including star linebacker Clay Matthews and most of the offensive line.
TJ, can you handle this?
David, can you handle this?
Clay, can you handle this?
Tackle Don Barkley says the guys recite lines from Pitch Perfect in the locker room. There's just an overall love for rom-coms. Guard Josh Sitton highly recommends How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and The Devil Wears Prada. Tackle David Bakhtiari is a fan of 40 Days and 40 Nights and A Knight's Tale. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. The holidays are over, so why don't you treat yourself to something nice and make a visit to All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old-world vision. You've heard me talk about my friend Nick and his team and how they make the finest handcrafted custom shoes. Well, they want to extend an invite to those of you in the New York City area to their showroom in the Flatiron District. They'll take great care of you, and it'll be a truly unique experience. You get to select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. And without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy All in Sundry is for you. If you're not a shoe guy, you might change your mind after visiting the team at All in Sundry. Visit allinsundry.com, too, to set up an appointment or speak to a team member on the best way to create your shoes. You'll even get a discount when you enter code DEAL online or mention it to a team member when setting up an appointment. Don't wait. Reach out today and get the very best in affordable, handcrafted shoes. All and Sundry.